We are reading in the Rabash Social Writings, page 60, in the article, You Stand Today, All of You. Questions can be asked on kab.tv, and pertinent questions will be aired during the lesson. You stand today, all of you. The interpreters ask about the words, you stand today, all of you, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, every man of Israel. It begins with a plural form, you, and ends in singular form, every man of Israel. The author of the book, Light and Sun, explains that by using plural form and singular form, it points to the matter of love of friends. Although among you are heads, tribes, etc., still no one sees greater merit in himself than in any man of Israel. Instead, everyone is equal in that no one complains about the other. For this reason, from above, too, they are treated accordingly, and this is why great abundance is imparted below. It is our way to study everything within one subject. It turns out that a person should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load, which are mind and heart. In other words, all of one's work should be in order to bestow. Accordingly, if one works in order to bestow and does not wish for any reward in return, except to serve in the holy work without hoping to be given any addition to what he has no wish even for additional work. In other words, receiving some knowledge that he is walking on the right path is certainly a just demand. And yet, he relinquishes even that because he wishes to go with eyes shut and believe in the Creator. And what he can, he does, and he is content with his lot. And he even feels that there are people who have some understanding of the work of the Creator, while he sees that he is completely empty. In other words, many times he feels a good taste in the work, and at times he feels that he is in a state of your heads. In other words, at times he thinks that now he has reached a degree where it is impossible that he will ever decline to a state of loneliness. A state where if he wishes to engage in the work of God, he has to make great efforts to force his body. At that time, what he does is by compulsion, because he has no desire for the work, and the body only wishes to rest and does not care for anything. Instead, at that time, he feels that he has already come to know for sure that there is nothing else in the world except to work in order to bestow. And then he certainly finds good taste in the work. And when he regards his previous states, he cannot understand now that he is in a state of ascent. Hence, by all calculations, he decides that now it is impossible that he will ever suffer a decline. But sometimes, after a day, an hour, or a few minutes, he descends to such a state of loneliness that he cannot immediately feel that he has fallen from his uplifted state to the depth of the great abyss. Rather, at times, after an hour or two, he suddenly sees that he has fallen from the highest level, meaning from his previous certainty that he has the strongest man, that he was the strongest man, and he is like any man of Israel, meaning like an ordinary person. Then he begins to seek advice in his heart. What should I do now? How can I pick myself up to the state of galdlut, greatness, that I had before? At that time, one should walk on the path of truth to say, my current state being in utter lowliness means that I was deliberately thrown out of from above to know if I truly wish to do the holy work in order to bestow, or if I wish to be God's servant because I find it more rewarding than other things. Then, if one can say, now I want to work in order to bestow, and I do not want to do the holy work to receive some gratification in the work, instead, I will settle for doing the work of holiness like any man of Israel, praying or taking a lesson on the daily portion, and I don't have the time to think with which intent I study or pray, but I will simply observe the actions without any special intent. At that time, he will re-enter the holy work, because now he wishes to be God's servant without any preconditions. This is the meaning of what is written, you stand today, all of you. Meaning, everything you went through, all the states you have experienced, whether states of gadlut or states of less than gadlut, which were considered intermediate or so, you take all those details, and you do not compare one degree to another because you do not care for any reward, but only for doing the Creator's will. He has commanded us to observe mitzvot and to study Torah. And this is what we do like any common man of Israel. In other words, the state he is in right now is as important to him as when he thought he was in a state of gadlut. At that time, the Lord your God makes with you today. This means that then the Creator makes a covenant with him. In other words, precisely when one accepts his work without any conditions and agrees to do the holy work without any reward, which is called unconditional surrender, this is the time when the Creator makes a covenant with him. Baal HaSulam explains the matter of making a covenant. When two people see that they love each other, they make a covenant between them that their love will always endure. And he asks, if they love each other and understand that this love will never leave them, why this covenant? Why do they make this covenant, meaning for what purpose? In other words, what do they gain by this making of a covenant? Is it only a ritual, or is it for some benefit? He said that the matter of making a covenant, is that now they understand that it is in their interest for each to love the other, because of reasons they can now see, that each one feels the other and cares only for his well-being. So they make a covenant, and as now, neither has any complaints against his friend, or they would not make a covenant, they tell each other. It is worthwhile for us to make a covenant once and for all. In other words, if there is ever a state where one will have complaints against the other, they will both remember the covenant that they made when love was revealed between them. Similarly, even though they currently do not feel the love as they did then, They still evoke the old love and do not look at the state they are currently in. Instead, they go back to doing things for each other. This is the benefit of the covenant. Thus, even when the love that was between them has lost its fancy because they made the covenant, they have the strength to reawaken the shining love that they had before. In this way, they usher each other back into the future. It follows that making the covenant is for the future. It is like a contract that they sign that they will not be able to regret when they see that the ties of love are not as they were, that this love gave them great pleasure while they were doing good to each other. But now that love has been corrupted. They are powerless and none can do anything for the other. But if they do wish to do something for their friends, they must consider the making of the covenant that they had before, and out of that, they should rebuild the love. It is like a person who signs a contract with his friend, and the contract connects them so they cannot part from one another. It follows that you stand today, all of you, in other words, he thinks of details, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, every man of Israel. This means that of all the high degrees that he had, it is now considered for him that he is in a state of every man of Israel. And he assumes that state as when he was in a state that he considered good. He says, now I do my part, and I agree that the Creator will give me what He wants, and I have no criticism. At that time, he is rewarded with making a covenant. In other words, the connection remains forever, because the Creator made a covenant with him for all eternity.
And this is how it happens in each and every degree. There are confusions, helplessness, such states are given to a man where he doesn't know where he's headed and how he's advancing. He finds himself incapable of making even the slightest motion. He doesn't know for what reason suddenly the spirit of life is taken from him. He can't understand anything compared to what he had the day before or even the day before that. Sometimes he doesn't even remember what he had yesterday or the day before, or he's completely detached. So many states of coming closer or being pushed away. And it seems to us that the signing of the covenant is when you go draw further away, that following the good things that I had, I remember them. And then even when things, states that are bad come to me, I try to recollect what was good, and I hope it will come back soon. Not necessarily. Rather, the making of the covenant, we have to understand that it's also related to quality and not only quantity, not only to the state. Meaning, if I once made a covenant and agreed that I have a covenant with the Creator, not because I feel good now and when I'll feel worse off, I'll remember it and that way I'll maintain the covenant between us. Rather, I have a connection with Him because by that I give Him contentment. By that, I reach equivalence of form. So for me, the bad states and the good states don't even matter. Even the good states can come and confuse me even more than the bad states. In the bad states, at least, the evil inclination, my ego, is pushing me forward, is searching for something, whereas the good state kind of freezes me. I can't move if there's no deficiency that appears in me. And then as well, I have to remember the covenant. Then as well, I have to draw the deficiencies from the past, and then I'm able to continue. So what is the covenant over? Just regarding the lack of connection or about bringing contentment? Above all the flavors that I now taste, whether bitter or sweet. So there are many manners here where that law of the covenant, the making of the covenant exists is in each and every degree. Questions? No questions. Oh, yeah?
John from Chicago is asking, what does it mean to be the Creator's work without any preconceived preconditions?
You come to me. You respect me? Say again so everybody hears. Oh, see, making fun of you, right? I know. So you come to me and you tell me the following. To me, it's not important what I do, what you do. You can make me either your second in command up to the very lowest, most contemptible cleaner. And the price that you can pay me can be half the kingdom, or to the point where you pay me nothing. By receiving, I can receive good pleasures and tastes in the work, or I can receive blows. For every day that I work, I actually suffer blows, strikes. Nonetheless, I'm willing to work for you. I want to work for you. I'm begging without any conditions. Well, it depends on the tolerance with which you enter, how much unpleasant or pleasantness, punishment or reward, and that's how you advance above your donkey, above your ego that is feeling good or bad, either receiving half the kingdom or suffering blows for a day of work. But the Adam in you is in adhesion with the host. Do you agree or don't you? So everybody's calmed down a little bit. So that's a little bit of the picture. And you want to have such conditions because by that you see that you can actually aim yourself, direct yourself cleanly towards the host. Because if not for these conditions, you don't know where you are. Maybe the ego is pushing you and tricking you, and you know, and you know, are running before, what do we say?
The thief runs in front of everyone.
Yeah, the thief is running before everybody else, and like everybody else, and he's also shouting, "Catch the thief!" So you have to know who is managing you, and that is only through those changes. And also, you can't do it only by the bed. Actually, there is no darkness without the light, no light without darkness. You have to have both of them.
He writes here, then your Creator makes a covenant with you today. Meaning, not that I make a covenant with the Creator, but the Creator makes a covenant with me.
Yes.
How do I know this? How do I feel this? How does it come to be?
What force do you have? What status, what foundations, what vessels, means by which you can make a covenant? I don't understand how you are thinking that you are making a covenant. You are being invited to sign a certain document, a treaty, a covenant. You need to have a certain force. What is your signature worth? What's behind it? Money, control, something. Right? Either money or power. Where ultimately it's all power. But what do you have with respect to the Creator when you are gonna, that you can actually sign? Rather, the Creator is signing with you by what? By shining on you. And then you have the ability to keep a certain condition with Him to the extent that He shines upon you. So He's the guarantor, actually, that you will be able to keep it. He's actually managing it. But you agree. You want it.
Meaning, if I wake up in the morning and decide at any given moment, everything I receive with subjugation and with love. It doesn't matter. It's actually Him who made the covenant with me?
Of course. Even the fact you get up in the morning, He made it so. And if you further want to even, you were thinking about Him, you wanted to connect with Him, to make a covenant with Him, all of this is light upon light that comes to you and builds all of these things in you. Otherwise, I mean, who are you? You're just a piece of a spark that was created, existence from absence, and that's it. All the rest is through, comes to you through the light.
Mm-hmm. Meaning every day anew we're working on the making of the covenant on my side and on His side, just to how I feel it.
That is true, but you have to have the plea. You have to try. How can you begin with that request, the deficiency? There's nothing in you from which you can begin. Therefore, He built an environment for you that through the environment you can acquire deficiency, and then it is if you are starting with something. At least with the deficiency, you begin. All the rest comes from Him. But the deficiency that comes through the environment, you form it.
But there's always that impression that remains with you as much as your memory allows you from that previous incident, from that previous situation state.
Yes.
So if it's strong, you will continue it. If you'll forget, you need to build it anew.
And all of this comes from the society. The society, the group, is like a reservoir of desires, discernments, forces. That's what you have before you. If not for the society, you're just a point before Him, and you are unable to do anything. As much as He bestows upon you, you awaken a little bit, either like some plant or some small animal or a small man or a big man. But nonetheless, you awaken only according to the light that shines upon you and to the extent that you get that light. What did He give you? He gave you an environment that through the environment you can supply yourself as if with your own deficiency, because you invest in the society, in the group, so the deficiency is yours. And then with that deficiency, you can come to Him and demand, give me more, make it so and so. And then it's as if you own that deficiency. Otherwise, you don't even have that.
There's a certain thing that you call flirt. Meaning there's a situation where you're operating during the day and you're feeling, here, He did this to me. Here, I related, whether it's subconsciously or unconsciously. And it's really like a game. Is it an imagination, or is it showing us that there's something that you're a little bit more coming to a state that you're really trying to really associate things?
Yes.
So now this flirt, am I the woman and he's the man?
Yes.
So do I need to play the games like a woman does?
Make it so.
Why should it be so?
Because later you discover that he does everything on both sides.
But still, there's some all kinds of like exercises that I need to learn to get to know that it has to do with him.
What does it have to do? I mean, what do you care so much whether it's the man's side or the female or the women's side, if it's this way or that way? I don't quite get it. A deficiency is called a woman. Towards the Creator, we're all considered as women, as those who have a deficiency. So, the smaller one,
you're right.
The smaller one is always a nukva, a female, towards the greater one, who is a male.
You're right about what you're saying, but still, it's like you have some kind of...
You have this emotion that you want to say, where is I? Where is my manhood? Right?
Also, am I feminine enough?
Oh, I wish that we would be women towards the Creator. What are you talking about? It's nothing. A woman is actually... She has no strength, only a deficiency, and she depends on her husband. And it's a good place. If you reach such a thing, it's called the crown of her husband. She becomes the one who engulfs, the nukva surrounds, engulfs the husband. There's something in its opposition here. No, it's not like in our world. But certainly we are the malchut with respect to Zeranpin. We are those, the elements of the deficiency. But this deficiency is towards connection, towards devotion. All of those things are named after the woman. That is true. But I don't see any blemish, any dishonor in that. I don't know. I understand you, but it's very corporeal the way you're describing it.
I actually don't see it as a flaw. I just see it as something that...
It's as if it takes away the importance.
No,
from
it doesn't lower. It's like it's something that I need to behave. Like it's not my natural place, but it's correct.
The whole of humanity, the whole of creation, towards the Creator, with respect to the Creator, is a deficiency. Therefore, it's called a nukva, a female. But in our world, as the nukva and zachar, female and male, it's naturally, it shows exactly the same relation between the root and the branch as us and the Creator, between the whole of creation and the Creator, meaning that the whole creation, with respect to the Creator, depends on him, relies on him on the one hand. On the other hand, because of his love towards it, it plays with him and he depends on her, on it. It manipulates, turns the Creator, because only to the degree that it shows a deficiency, the Creator can come to her and couple with her. She crowns him, she reveals him and magnifies him and respects him only according to how much he's able and how much he actually does it. Meaning, there's no husband without a wife, there's no creator without a creation. This nukva, this deficiency, becomes the main thing, the essence of creation. And also, who is giving birth? The deficiency is what gives birth to new degrees. Through the light that enters it, it begets new degrees. But it's the deficiency, the nukva. When the light enters us, it develops qualities in us, masachim, screens. According to those screens, our desires with the screens turn into sefirot, and thus we grow in the partzuf. And that's how we develop. And also, the Creator presents himself towards us as a woman, that he needs our attitude, that he's waiting, anticipating our turn towards him. And in such a way, he's showing a deficiency. A deficiency is the nukva, the female. But it's the deficiency that comes from perfection, wholeness. In our case, the deficiency comes from a lack. Therefore, we don't relate to him as to a nukva, those states, those degrees. But truly so. As we say, more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to feed. So who is lacking more, he or us? He is lacking more, but his deficiency is because he wants to give. Therefore, it is not considered a lack. How can I say that? A negative, let's say, lack.
Thank you.
There's a lot more we can say about that. Yes.
Rav, what are the stages of the Brit in Assyria?
What are the degrees of the stages of making a covenant in the tens?
Stages of making a covenant in the group of ten are... maybe you'll talk about it. And later we will have a workshop, maybe on Sunday. It's actually good. It's a good topic. Remind me later that this should be the topic. And also we'll give that to Yaniv so that he can prepare for us passages. And think beforehand, starting now, how we reach the making, the signing of the covenant in the tens. What phases we should go through to reach that. It's very good. It's a good topic. Yes.
Joseph from San Francisco is asking, how is one's work unique in preparing himself before descent when he's still feeling the ascent? Can you describe the state that he comes in awareness to that covenant?
There has to be a deficiency. That I depend on the light that reforms. It has to take care of me. That I want it to hold me by 100% with total dependency on it. I want to be above my own discernments and emotions, but not with my eyes shut. Rather, there is here a dualism, a certain inner conflict, that on the one hand, I want to understand and to know and to feel everything that is in my reality, in my state, with the full intricacy of discernments that are in that state. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I want, regardless of what happens in all of these discernments, and whichever way I'll slice them, put them together, and decide accordingly, the bottom line, the summary, has to be that I will be in adhesion with the Creator on top of all of these states. Oh, so I want to grow standing erect with my full stature and with all of my ego, all of my discernments above my ego, inside of it and below it. Those are the three discernments. Only I'm asking that all of this will not break that point of covenant for me, that surely following everything I will reach devotion. Being in every state that I'm in an eruption of happiness as a good sign, indication of the covenant. If there's no happiness, truly that you're exploding, this is not considered that you have a covenant. Yes.
Ray from the Education Center in Florida is asking, what is the shortest way to attain subjugation without any condition to the Creator?
The group. The fastest, most certain, most useful way that is always ready, only that. The group, well, nowadays we say it's the tenth.
Fabrizio from Argentina is asking, Rav, how do you feel, what is it to give happiness to the Creator? How do I know that He enjoys my work?
He feels good about it. How do you feel that you're giving happiness to the Creator, if indeed He helped you examine yourself, that you examine yourself and you see that everything that would come my way, according to the present degree, what will come later on, well, let's hope that the Creator will guard us. But according to the present state, if I'm in adhesion with the Creator from one extreme to the other, over all of the discernments that are in my degree, and I can raise all of them to Him, towards His revelation, this is considered that I have a masach, a screen, and ochozer, reflected light, on top of the oviyut, the coarseness, in which I receive nothing. Rather, I want to discover the Creator above the oviyut, in the screen and the reflected light. This is considered that I give Him contentment by that. I discover Him. The result of this work is His discovery. His revelation cannot be bad, because the Creator that appears is revealed as something that is very pleasant, understood, attainable. A solution. Well, solutions, how shall I say this? Something that solves everything, provides the solutions for everything. This is how you discover Him. And then you have pleasure, calmness, tranquility, and then you have to overcome that. That the pleasure that appears from the revelation of the Creator will also be for the Creator. Yes?
Denis is asking, is the covenant made between two friends or only within the ten?
The minimum of the many is two. It can be that way also, but I don't think that this is enough. And also, the world shows us nowadays it's being global. I don't think that's enough. I'm very much afraid to cut it this way and say yes or no, because those things haven't happened before. We're the first ones. We're entering a new realm. And in that, I feel truly like a small one who's opening a door. And as much as I can open the door and I recognize what is going on, well, I do. And if I don't. Seems to be that nowadays working only in two is not beneficial for advancement. Minyan, a ten, is the complete, the smallest complete pattern, template. Yes?
So maybe to just continue. So if we make a covenant, even it must go through the ten. Even between two friends, it must go through the ten?
No, I think that in general, the covenant can only be among a minyan, a ten. Why is it called a minyan, something that is countable? Less than that, we don't even count. You see? This is called a single unit. Ten Sefirot is a single unit. There is the Keter, and the eight Sefirot between Keter and Malchut are the qualities that by which the Creator is bestowing to Malchut, and Malchut receives, and accordingly she changes and adapts herself to the Keter through the Sefirot of the Ochozer, the reflected light. So it cannot be less than ten. This is why it is called a single unit, Yechida.
Jim from Washington, from the Yashar Kel group, is asking, when I nullify myself completely before the Creator, what are the makers of this covenant agreeing about?
The makers of the covenant agree by that, that they are prepared, willing to come to as one man in one heart, that they will help one another in everything to be in that, that they will arrange the system of relationships between them so that they'll all be friends, meaning equal, that they'll cancel, nullify each and everyone's ego by showing him how much they care for him, that they will increase in each and every one the greatness of the Creator so that he won't be able to let go of the path and will always be attached to them in order to attain the Upper One. In short, Arvut, mutual guarantee. Arvut and the path towards the goal. Giving joy, happiness, giving confidence, all of that is in the covenant. However, we need to as if write down regarding each condition, each phase, what it's about.
Chezi from Be'er Sheva is asking, the covenant that we make with the Creator, should there also be a physical expression with the groups, with the friends in the group?
No. No physical form. No physical form. As little as possible to have all these corporeal forms. Everything is only through the attitude of one person to the other. If you have a chance, you can give him a candy, but I don't recommend that. I don't recommend any of these. Otherwise, there's no limit to that, and it comes at the expense of the spiritual attitude.
Shimon from Israel is asking, how does a person who makes to decide to go on this in advance, how does he know he'll have the patience to receive the blows on the way to the path, on the way to the goal?
We're never going towards suffering. One who's going in the right path is always in uplifted spirit and happiness. However, if he falls off the path, then maybe he is suffering, so he should not fall. And we'll move on to the next part.
We'll move to the next part of the lesson.